I worked as a nursery officer in what was Ainsworth and is now Goulburn Children's Centre for 7.5, 8 years before I came to Maxilla, and so I knew of Maxilla due to the borough trying to close Ainsworth and Maxilla down. So I knew quite a lot about Maxilla because we were working together to basically fight the borough and say, no, you're wrong. You shouldn't be closing these nursery schools down. These are a really important resource for the community, and you need to just back off and leave us alone, basically. And so the union rep worked, my union rep worked with both of the schools, and I got to know Maxilla through that initial fight to stay open. It was about 2002, 2003. Well, the borough's thinking was they wanted to save money, and nursery schools are expensive to run, and they are expensive to run. But there's a reason for that, because the quality of the provision they provide is really high. All of the reports that have been done into quality provision say the same thing. Nursery schools provide incredible provision for families and children, and that's why they cost more money. I remember sitting at the school organisation committee and hearing what the borough's representatives were saying and thinking, you're making these things up, and you have no respect for the needs of the families that you're supposed to be serving, and no understanding of the needs of those families. Parents really got involved. They were, I would like to say that there was a lot of Ainsworth parents, but actually it wasn't. It was more Maxilla parents. But it was led by one of the Ainsworth parents, a woman called Alison MacArthur, who basically rallied the troops in both sides and organised a big bus and took parents and children down to the town hall on a big bus. And there was a demonstration outside the town hall, and parents got involved with the local newspapers as well. It was in the reports in the newspapers, and also Polly Toynbee from The Guardian wrote an article about Maxilla, and basically Alison MacArthur really supported both schools in managing time and resources, and I suppose communication with other, with the newspapers, in terms of keeping us in the news and making sure people realise what was happening, because it's very easy for the borough to organise things in school holidays, so meetings go on in school holidays rather than in school in term time, so that parents aren't aware of it. So she made sure that every parent knew what was going on, really. I think it was all down to the fact that the people from the school organisation committee said, you have no right to do this, and we could have protested till we were blue in the face, but if the school organisation committee had said, yes, that's fine, you have good enough reason to close it down, they'd have closed it down. I think the borough pays lip service to listening to parents. This borough pays lip service to listening to parents.
We're talking about Kensington and Chelsea.
Yeah. When part of the deal that the borough made in terms of keeping Ainsworth open was that it was going to be turned into a children's centre. And as we were going through that process and renovating the building, and it was a very different feeling in the building from being a nursery school to being a children's centre. And Christine Barton was brought in to support that because we'd merged with Swinbrook, who had been a standalone PVI upstairs, and we'd merged with them. And bringing the two staff teams together had been challenging, very challenging. And we'd gone from being basically three, 4 year olds and catering for their every need and being very good at making sure that we were supporting them and developing them and extending them, to suddenly having 2 year olds on the property and babies. And so Christine was brought in to support us, to support them, that process really. And when she then started working at Maxilla, she kind of said, oh, there is a job going soon, have a think about whether or not that's something you'd like to apply for, because there'll be an open application process. And I had just finished my teacher training, and so I applied for it basically because I knew Christine was interested in providing really high quality provision. The practice in there has always been of a really high quality because it's quite a unique place to work. I don't think you really understand it until you work there. So when I used to visit it, because, you know, I would go to I remember going to ask Linus about visual timetables once, because we'd had a child that was starting in Ainsworth that would need a little bit more support. And I'd gone down to see the visual timetables, and Glynis had talked me through it. And I remember looking at the garden thinking, God, that's an amazing garden. But that was it. But until you work there, I don't think you understand, or until you're involved in it in a different level, I don't think you understand quite how special it is to the families and the children who are involved, because they feel that it is. I remember one parent saying to me, this is my second home. I feel more comfortable here than I do at home. And I think that's true for many parents, because actually for so many families now, they are isolated. If you're a single parent, often you don't have the support of that extended family. And so your friends become your family, and those friendships were made in the drop-in at Maxilla. And I think that drop-in was probably the most important place in the whole building, because Noelle and Anne-Marie are incredibly special people in terms of the way they make people feel really comfortable, and they make parents feel like everything can be sorted out with a hug and a cup of tea. And yes, there might be an issue there, but don't worry, we'll support you through this, we'll help you through this. Come and chat to me about it. I'm not going to judge you, I'm not going to judge what you've done, I'm not going to judge who you are, just come and talk to me about it. And I think the magic of that and the importance of that is something you don't understand until you see it in practice, and you see Anne-Marie meet somebody at the door who is in floods of tears, and by the time they leave, that person has got a smile on their face and is thinking, okay, life's a little bit better than when I came in. And I can cope with my life a little bit better, and I can see an end that is more positive. And all that happens over the space of an hour and a half with Noelle and Anne-Marie and Nicole in the early days of when she started in the drop-in, just saying, it'll be all right. Don't worry, it'll be all right. And I don't think you can understand that until you've seen it. It's an amazing place. It was an amazing place. I never really thought of myself as an outdoorsy person, but everybody else thought of me as an outdoorsy person. And I looked at that garden and just went, great, fab, this is it. I know what I'm going to do with this. I know what this needs to look like. I know what I want this to be. And there were staff there who had cultivated this garden to be beautiful, absolutely beautiful. But I looked at it slightly differently. So there were three outdoor spaces in Maxilla. There was the covered space where nobody really wanted to go unless it was absolutely pouring down with rain. And even then, if it was pouring down with rain, is it really raining hard enough to go under the motorway? Let's just keep them outside, it'll be fine. Do their jackets up, they'll be fine. Then there was a concreted paved area, which they called down the hill, where the drop-in would use often and the two-year-olds would use. And when I first came to Maxilla, that's what they used. They set up down the hill. And I would sit there and I would look and I'd go, why are we setting up things on this paved area when there is this beautiful garden up there? And so that's one of the first things I think we all changed. And I remember one day looking and thinking, okay, we can't really see over there, and giving the children and myself, we had little hacksaws, we were hacking down this beautiful, I think it was buddleia, but I could be wrong. I actually don't know what it was. Shame on me. Mary Elena would know, because I'm sure she probably cultivated it and made it look beautiful. But it was blocking a sight line, and we needed to use the space the way we needed to use it. So I remember chopping it down, and I remember Christine coming out and going, what the hell have you done? It needed to be done, it needed to be done. And her rolling her eyes and tutting and walking back inside the class, and the children and I just carrying on sawing this beautiful plant down. But actually it changed the space. And so suddenly there wasn't a huge expanse of garden that you couldn't see because nobody could see over this great big cage. Suddenly your sight line was clear and you could feel really comfortable having two people up in the garden and knowing that you could supervise it sensibly and appropriately. And so I think that sort of started the ball rolling in terms of, well, what else can we do here? And I think a big up to Mark Warmby, who's a guy who spent a lot of time at Maxilla, changing little things that made a huge difference. So it used to be that everything was kept in cupboards down the hill. And I remember dragging great big houses, climbing houses up the hill and pushing community blocks, trolleys full of, you know, hundreds of blocks up this hill. And Mark's guys came in, we moved all the sheds up the hill. We created a paved area for the blocks to be used. And so suddenly these blocks were not just there. The children did amazing things with those blocks. And something that actually, if you don't have the space, you really can't do, because I see that where I am now. We've got all these beautiful blocks. And, you know, they try and do the same things, but they don't have the space. And so it limits what they can do. Whereas for the children at Maxilla, suddenly they had the space and the resources. And so their play was very different. And so their learning was very different. Amazing space.
What was your vision?
To make it the best children's centre in Kensington and Chelsea and in London. And it was, you know, it was an amazing space. And I would go to visit other children's centres in other boroughs. Through, you know, courses or through actually, you know, professional development, making it going off. And I would come back and think, oh yeah, we can steal that from there. That's quite a nice thing to do. But actually we do that so much better. And I think working as that team, and by the time Glynis had retired and the time that, you know, the team that were there were quite established, and all really wanted to do the same thing. You know, there's a reason people stay. There is a reason people stay. And that's because they understand the vision and they share that vision of making sure that what you're providing for those children and those families is the best you can possibly do every day. And also, it was a very supportive team in terms of, you know, friendships were made in that place and they were forged there, and they've continued now that Maxwell's not there. I think because it started from the second your baby, well, actually before your baby was born, I remember pregnant women coming in saying, I'm here to see the midwife. And because Maxilla is one of those places that you either know where it is or you have no idea where it is, because it's hidden away underneath the motorway, basically. And so parents would say, oh, I didn't even know this was here. And then they'd walk into this space, and because it was such a huge space, they'd go off to see the midwife, and then they'd stay and they'd go to the drop-ins. And then having been part of that drop-ins, and then they would realise actually there were language courses, or there were knitting groups, or there were, you know, all sorts of things going on there. And so those parents would come in with babes in arms and basically be provided with this opportunity to do lots of other things, but within the context of, yes, you can go to that language group, but actually there's a creche running to support you to go to that language group. So understanding that their baby was just, you know, two doors in that creche room, and so they would hear their baby cry if they needed to, or they knew that that staff member would come and get them if their baby was unhappy, gave them, I think, the freedom to participate in things that they wouldn't necessarily do. I remember one parent saying to me that actually her English had improved so much that she was going to get a job. She felt comfortable enough now and confident in her English to go and start looking for a job. And this was a parent that, when I knew her initially, had very little English, 2-3 words, and she would just smile and nod at me. And because she did all the ESOL classes at Maxilla, she was then able to, when her child was moving into school, start looking for a job. And she felt like she was contributing to a wider society because of the fact that she'd been able to learn to speak English and been supported to do that. But also things like the knitting groups. So we might be practicing for a lever show or something, and we could hear the knitting group who were in the other room And the support that that sort of group offered to the people that went to it was amazing, because when your hands are busy, you talk about other things. And when you talk about other things, you are more open because you're not really thinking about what you're talking about. And so often you'd hear people talking about something and then somebody else would jump in and say, well, you know, you can do this, and well, have you tried that? And so everything basically is a support. It's like a little support network and a support circle for the families that go there, that means that they can, their confidence grows, their confidence in themselves, their confidence in themselves as parents, which has just knock-ons to everything in terms of their relationship with their parent, with their child changes. And so their child's ability to see the world differently, you know, is enhanced. If we hadn't been an integrated centre, I don't think we would have been able to offer that sort of... In fact, I know we wouldn't have offered that support, because when you are just a school, you offer as much as you can, but it's very different saying, here's a telephone number, go and call them, to taking a parent by the arm and saying, look, let me make you a cup of tea. I'm going to get Alexia. She's going to come and chat to you, and she can sort you out with a number for this, that and the other. And having a person that you could send, you could take that parent to, if they came to you and said, I'm really struggling with this, having a somebody that you could take that parent to makes all the difference, because you know you are handing that parent over to somebody that has got the time to sit and chat to them and to phone them and to support them and to follow that up and to make sure that they're not lost in the system. And so that if a parent has come and said, actually, I've got difficulty with housing, you know that there's going to be somebody there to say, this is the person you speak to, this is what happens when they say this, you need to do this, come back and talk to me about it later. And I know lots of parents that went down to the children's centre end and for support from Alexia and for support from Nicole and Anne-Marie and Noelle, that actually those little changes change your life. I've come here today, and as I've come here today, I've nipped into Portobello to get some flowers, and on the way here I've met three parents. Those three parents, they say to you, what are you doing now? And you tell them, and you say, oh, how are you? And you look at the children and you say, oh, my goodness, aren't they big, and all that sort of stuff. And each one of those parents has said to me that actually they don't feel the support is there for parents now, that actually they feel on their own. But these are not parents that have gone over to Goulburn. These are parents that have moved into schools and that they feel more isolated. And that's, I think, the difficulty of having a hub rather than having these services delivered in children's centres and schools around the borough, where you go every day. You know, being able to just pop into somebody when you know you're going there anyway is a very different thing than having to go and seek that service out, because often parents don't seek that service out, because if you need that service, often you're not in a headspace where you can actually facilitate doing that independently. The borough put it as, it's not a closure, it's a move. Parents are smart, and parents know that actually that's not a move, that's a closure, because the building is closed to children and closed to parents. And I think that given that this borough is an incredibly rich borough, they could have done far more to support the centre staying open. And they chose not to do that. And I think that was a financial choice. I think it was. I don't think they really thought that through. I think they were thinking short term rather than long term. Some parents were devastated, absolutely devastated. Well, the provision that was provided and that space in terms of the garden is what attracted parents to the centre in the first place. I'd love Maxilla to still be there, but the borough weren't prepared to support that. And so I think that in terms of the centre, in terms of when the centre was initially set up, it was so forward thinking in terms of what it provided for parents. And I think there isn't enough of that sort of forward thinking in government at the moment. I think that seeing the value of the family and seeing the value of support that's offered to a family is something that doesn't seem to be prominent enough in the government thinking at the moment. It seems to be, you know, you're on your own, mate. And that's not how society works. And if you look at places like Scandinavia, that's not how that society works. And, you know, if you look at the way families are supported over there in terms of financially supporting parents who want to go back to work and making sure that high quality provision is there and it's affordable, that doesn't seem to be something that government in this country has really thought through. It seems to be knee-jerk reactions to everything that comes out rather than a well thought through and considered and reflective view of what family needs are and how that government can support the people it's supposed to be supporting.